Chapter 15. A Cause of Discouragement. St. Helena, California, November 13, 1902. In the night season, I was in a council with a few who were in perplexity. Many companies were presented to me as confused, in darkness, sad, and discouraged, because so many were stirred by feelings of opposition to the work in the southern field. While there were some who felt the burden of the work in this field, there were others who tried to counterwork any efforts made in behalf of the work. The people of God need now to pray and humble their hearts before the Lord. Then they will see all things clearly. It is heart humiliation that is needed by those who have in trust so great and so important a truth which, if received and believed, will purify the life from all selfishness, all emulation. Let the Lord's people draw near to him, and let them love one another as brethren. A guilty world is going to destruction, and if Satan can keep at variance those whose hearts should be full of tenderness and love, on whose lips there should ever be the law of kindness, how pleased he is! Oh, that God's people had a sense of the impending destruction of thousands of cities, now almost wholly given to idolatry. But many of those who are acquainted with the truth are busy about things here and there. Their first work is to pray for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, as the disciples prayed for it after the ascension of Christ. When the converting power of God comes upon minds, there will be a decided change. Men will have no inclination to counterwork what others are doing. They will not stand in a position that hinders God's voice from coming to the people. They will no longer brace themselves against the doing of that which should be done. All criticism, all accusing, will cease. Oh, that men would die to self and reveal the compassion and love of Christ! So long as they hold themselves in their own keeping, refusing to humble themselves before God, they cannot be sanctified. In much of the service professedly done for God, there is emulation and self-exaltation. God hates pretense. When men and women receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, they will confess their sins, and pardon, which means justification, will be given them. But the wisdom of the human agents who are not penitent, not humbled, is not to be depended on, for they are blinded in regard to the meaning of righteousness and sanctification through the truth. When men are stripped of self-righteousness, they will see their spiritual poverty. Then they will approach that state of brotherly kindness which will show that they are in sympathy with Christ. They will be able to appreciate the importance of Christian missions. Many are readily satisfied with offering the Lord trifling acts of service. Their Christianity is feeble. Christ gave himself for sinners. With what anxiety for the salvation of souls we should be filled as we see human beings perishing in sin. These souls have been bought with a price. The death of the Son of God on Calvary's cross is the measure of their value. Day by day they are deciding a question of life and death, deciding whether they will have eternal life or eternal destruction. And yet men and women professing to serve the Lord are content to give their time and strength to matters of little importance. They are content to be at variance with one another. If they were consecrated to the work of the Master, they would not be striving and contending like a family of unruly children. Every hand would be engaged in service. Every one would be standing at his post of duty, working with heart and soul as a missionary of the cross of Christ. The Spirit of God would abide in the hearts of the laborers, and works of righteousness would be wrought. The workers would carry with them into their service the sympathies and prayers of an awakened church. Messages would come from lips touched with a live coal from the divine altar. Earnest, purified words would be spoken. Humble, heartbroken intercessions would ascend to heaven. With one hand, the workers would take hold of Christ, while with the other, they would grasp sinners and draw them to Christ. Work is what the churches need. They need an unreserved consecration to service. Jesus wept over the guilt and obduracy of Jerusalem. Who today among those who have received such great light and such rich gifts mingle their tears with the tears of their Savior? I am instructed to tell the people of God that, while there is so much dissension among them, they cannot be in harmony with Christ. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die, for I have not found thy works perfect before God. Remember, therefore, how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast, and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. Revelation 3, verse 2, 3. Never can the church reach the position that God desires it to reach until it is bound up in sympathy with its missionary workers. Never can the unity for which Christ prayed exist until spirituality is brought into missionary service, and until the church becomes an agency for the support of missions. The efforts of the missionaries will not accomplish what they should until church members in the home field show, not only in word, but in deed, that they realize the obligation resting on them to give these missionaries their hearty support. God calls for workers. Personal activity is needed. But conversion comes first. Seeking for the salvation of others will follow. Oh, that our brethren might realize the value of the gift of Christ's love. Let the love that dwells in renewed, sanctified hearts be seen among the workers. A self-renouncing heart grows more mellow as life advances. Christ in the heart, Christ in the life, this is our safety. In no mere human being can we place our dependence. But those who, by receiving into the heart the lessons of the divine teacher, have been made partakers of the divine nature, are not changeable. Their work is done in harmony with Bible principles. God calls for true, staunch men, men who are working together with Him. Such men share His wisdom, and in their renewed lives, His power is revealed.